So I need to tell you that I'm not going to preach a sermon today because I actually don't preach sermons anymore. I literally don't. And partially because I felt like the Lord spoke to me that is no longer your lane. My lane is not preaching anymore. I've done it for 54 years, but so my new lane is to pray, and so now I pray as my main lane. Anyhow, and I love it, and but so I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to make you preach, do a sermon with me. Is that okay? Yeah. We've done this before. So I want you to, we're going to put up Luke 11. I'm going to just talk to you about a story, and I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we can actually get into it together. Where did Leah go? There she is. Leah, would you read the scripture for us?
Luke 11, 38 through 43, New Living Translation. His host was amazed to see that he sat down to eat without first performing a hand-washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. Then the Lord said to him, "You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and wickedness. Fools! Didn't God make the inside as well as the outside? So clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor, and you will be clean all over. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you love to sit in the seats of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk in the marketplace."
John, I need my glasses soon. I think they're in the bag. Thank you. And I have new glasses. Do you like them? Come on, now tell me the truth.
Yes.
Okay. So this is a very familiar story. Also, I need to tell you why I don't preach anymore. Partially because God said so. Should be enough, right? But partially, I've had two strokes. The first stroke took away my left peripheral vision. Not such a big deal. Kind of a big deal, but not such a big deal. The second stroke was much bigger and took away the left side of my body, including the left side of my tongue. So that's the most irritating part of the stroke, because I just don't feel I can talk as easily as I used to. That's not the reason, but but what it did do is that, and you can talk to Leah and John about this later, it actually damaged my executive brain function. Jane, do you know what that is? Where's Jane?
She's not here yet. I don't think she's here.
Okay. All right.
Rough.
What?
She's not here yet.
Okay. Anyhow, so I go through difficulties with doing linear things. For instance, someone was going to pick me up at 6 o'clock, and when it was 3:37, I would kind of try to calculate how many minutes I have to wait before this guy gets there. I could not do it. I went after it a long time. So it's a very odd thing, because I used to be pretty good at all that stuff. So all that to say is the thought of doing a sermon was challenging. So I love doing this, and so let's get into it here. First question I have for you is, Martha has trouble here in this story, doesn't she? But she has trouble with every person named in this story. She has trouble with. Tell me the people. Give me the names of the people in this story.
You say Martha.
I said I'm.
Is this the story that we're supposed to be reading? This one's about hand washing, and and Pharisees. Did we read the wrong story?
Nope, we didn't.
Okay.
You didn't read down to the Martha and Mary story?
No, this isn't Martha and Mary. This is not, that's not.
Okay.
It's the wrong verses, but it's the wrong book or chapter.
Did you mean John 11?
I'm sorry?
Did you mean the Gospel of John, verses 11 through 38 through 42? Because that would be the story of Mary and Martha. We didn't get the story of Mary and Martha. No, we got Luke.
No, I went Luke. Right.
Okay. So it was the wrong story. Oh, do you want me to read it?
Give it another one there.
All right. Luke chapter 10, 38 through the end of the chapter.
Sorry for the... It wasn't your fault, John. It was me. No, David.
We got bonus Bible today. Okay. There we go. Okay. It's up there now. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thank you. In the last church I pastored was called Christ Community Church. This was the first sermon I preached at that church. This is also the last sermon I preached at that church. So it was bookends through my whole time there. And so back to that first question, who are the people named and identified in this passage?
Martha.
Okay, Martha.
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus. Dinner guests.
Who?
The dinner guests.
What?
Everyone who is visiting, all the people who were there.
Okay. But they're not really mentioned by name here. So basically we have Martha, Mary, and Jesus that are mentioned in the story. So,
There's been a baptism here. A fixture.
Can I tell? Yes. Can I tell? You know what I'm going to tell. So Ned was my guest. And one of the first, he was there for dinner, or lunch, and I told him about that I was going to be a Mary today. I was going to listen, and I was not going to worry about the dishes or whatever. One of the first things I did was spill my water. I just think that's so funny.
It's perfect.
Anyway, go ahead.
So here's my question: What kind of problem does Martha have with Mary? You can talk. Does she have any problem with Mary?
Yes.
That is what?
She wanted Mary to help her. She wasn't. She was sitting at Jesus' feet.
So let's go a little bit deeper into Martha at that point. What's happening inside of Martha as she's watching Mary at the feet of Jesus? Anybody?
She's getting mad.
What? She's getting mad? Why? Why is she mad?
Because Mary has left her to serve alone.
Right. So really, maybe I'll fill in some things here, but I think what's going on, we all go through this, there's a kind of a sense of competition. Is Mary going to get more than I'm going to get? I mean, we know Jesus is the star of the show, but it looks like Mary's going to get more, and I don't think she likes this. And so, amazingly, she kind of bursts into the living room or wherever they are and rebukes the Lord. So she has trouble with Mary. She has trouble with Jesus, right? What's her trouble with Jesus?
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Ever felt Jesus didn't care? He does, but in this situation, he's going to make another point here. So she has trouble with She has trouble with Mary. She has trouble with Jesus. And she has trouble with Martha. What's her trouble with herself?
She's stressed
with the whole situation. What's her problem with herself? I'm fishing for something here. This is trying to guess what the teacher's thinking.
She's distracted with much serving.
I think it's because she tried to put on this amazing, amazing party that really wasn't necessary. What they needed was some bread, maybe a salad, a little bit of water.
With some farro?
That's and with a little bit of peach rhubarb dessert, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
She
right.
He was. And I just think she wanted every detail to be correct, but she missed the point, which is you're not there to eat.
She did miss the point, exactly.
You're just there to be sustained. You're not there to just, like, pay attention to the 12.
Okay, I actually want you to go a little bit deeper here. What's the problem that Martha has with herself, Melody? Very good. Wonderful, Melody. Thank you. And Martha is, this is where I kind of ultimately want you to get to. Martha is gifted, right? What's Martha's gift?
Service.
Service.
Hospitality.
And hospitality service. She's really good at it. And I think what's going on is she has frustrated with her own gift just to be able to stay there. Like, for instance, the Lord tells me, this used to be your lane. It's no longer your lane. My lane shifted, and Martha was, I just feel like it was an issue of competition that was going on in her heart. But she was unsatisfied with simply doing her gift and not being connected, not doing someone else's gift. You know, all of you have been gifted, and one of the things you're going to have to learn to do is to stay within your gifting, unless the Lord's calling you out of it. And in this situation, he is not calling Martha out of that gifting. He loves the fact that she's doing this. But she's got to accept that this is her lane, and she's got to learn how to stay there and be satisfied with that. And so she has trouble with Mary, with Jesus, with herself, and I have to look at this. Do we have the scripture up here?
No.
David Furlow? Do we have the scripture up here? I just want to point out one thing. This is, I'm not very good at the languages of Hebrew and Greek. I know some Greek, and I know actually a lot more Latin. But I want you to, when Jesus says that you are anxious and troubled about many things, the Greek word is terbazo, and from that word comes our word turbulence, and the Latin root of terbazo is turba, which means crowd. Fundamentally, what Jesus is saying to Martha is that Martha's when that's said twice like that, it comes out like my dear Martha. It really does modify that. So it's my dear Martha, you are anxious and troubled about it. But really he's saying, Martha, dear Martha, you are crowded. There's a crowd inside of you that's how many of you did you ever go to the state fair here? Where is it? Is it in Columbus? Where is it?
Where? Columbus, I think, yeah.
I don't even actually know.
Okay, well, forget it. I just want, the Minnesota State Fair is this supposedly the second best, we think it's the best state fair in the country. Texas thinks they have the best, so it's a contention between Keith Spurgeon and me. And I think Keith is right, they have the best. You just don't argue with the Texan about what's the best. But I don't go to the state fair My daughter loves it. She can't wait. Can't wait for it every year. I can't wait till it goes away every year, because the traffic is enormous. Anyhow, I do not like crowds, and I really love to be alone. And the State Fair is absolutely where you do not want to be if you don't like crowds. And I don't like the food. The food is it's actually wonderful in short spurts, but it's awful for you. And at any rate, Jesus says to her, Martha, you are, basically it says, Martha, you are crowded. And now I want you to help me with this. Do you ever feel crowded? How do you actually disperse the crowd? How do you disperse the crowd inside? This is important for you, because everybody gets crowded inside. The turbulence is intense. And so what's happening is, for Martha, is what Mary is doing before her is exactly how you disperse the crowd. Who is Mary talking to? Jesus, right? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the center of the universe. He has made everything. He's the author of life. She knows at least some of that. She knows that she needs to hear him. She needs to listen to him. Because when she listens to him, something sorts out within her. The crowd is dispersed and she becomes focused. You know, I work with a guy named Dave Johnson. We do these leadership retreats up in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And when I first met him, I talked to him for about 2 hours. At the end of those 2 hours, I went into my home and I found Sue. My wife's name is Sue. I said, Sue, I found someone who loves the Word of God more than me. I never thought I'd find that person. I was listening to him and I thought, this guy loves the Word of God more than me. And so that was just, I just was in wonder about that. The other day I was sitting in the Paramalos home and Andres was having his devotions. I was watching him and I looked at him and I said, Andres, you love the Word of God, don't you? And he looked at me and he said, it feeds my soul. And as he said it, it was almost like he was inhaling Jesus. And but he said, it feeds my soul. And then I thought, number two, loves the Word of God more than me. Andres and Dave Johnson. That's it. No more.
Is that a competition?
It might be. Are you rebuking me? John Bradbury, hi. Sorry about your mom's death. Really. We have one mother, and losing that mother is just hard. I'll meet her in heaven. So, where was I, John?
You were at
the Word of God.
The Word of God, right. It's so I have now found two people who love the Word of God more than me. Maybe all of you do, I don't know, but but Mary loves to hear Jesus. She loves to sit in his presence and simply listen to him. Listen to his teaching, and when that's happening, something is happening to her. Like it was happening to Andres, his soul is being fed by the very life of God, by the very bread of life. It's being fed to his soul, her soul. And in other words, she would say, why would I want to be anyplace else than before the feet of Jesus? And because it just disperses the crowd, and I kind of get back. I always tell people when I pray, I said I feel the most sane when I pray. It's like sanity is just descends upon me. I understand who I am, who he is, and I think it's the most sane place to be forever. Anyhow, all that to say that Mary doesn't seem terribly provoked by her sister. She's going to, and then when Jesus says, I'm not, she. Jesus says, she has chosen the good portion, or what does it say here? And it's not going to be taken from her. So Jesus is all for this devoted follower of his being right where she should be. Now, this is not a very difficult application for a sermon, even though this is not a sermon, this is not a difficult application. Your greatest sanity is before the Lord. And now somehow, if that doesn't happen with some regularity, you are going to get crowded, and that crowd will overwhelm you. We live in a crowded culture right now. I mean, I don't do much social media, but I hear enough about social media that it bothers me. God bless social media. But it just creates a crowd. If you watch too much politics and news, that'll crowd you. In fact, it doesn't take much to crowd us. I went to watch a football game today at 1 o'clock, and that can crowd you. How many sports people are here? With you, Robbie. I just met Robbie. Robbie was a football player, and we're going to watch the Bengals and the Vikings today. If you don't want to watch it, you're okay. It'll be less of a crowd. So, at any rate, all I'm trying to get, I'm kind of done with this, really, this whole thing. I'm just saying that the reason I preached this first, the reason at Christ Community Church, and the reason I preached it last was I thought this was so important. When Jesus says one thing is needful, we need to stop and say, "What's that, Jesus?" He points to Mary, and I guess it's this. It's really the most needful thing in your life is to be before the Lord, to be uncrowded, and to be gain the sanity of heaven. So just talk to me about this a bit. Or I'll get uncomfortable, then I'll get nervous if you don't talk to me.
It makes me think of that song that David wrote about living in the house of the Lord all those days.
Say it one more time.
It makes me think of that song that David wrote where he talks about being in the temple.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that one?
Yes.
Let me dwell in the house of the Lord. Yeah, that's, I think it's exactly him. That one desire, you know, why would God say that David is a man after my own heart? Isn't that a remarkable statement of God to say, this man is like me, after my own heart? And but that was just David's cry. He wrote Psalms, and wanted to be in the presence of God. So give me some more of what you're getting here. Just talk to me. I've lost my hearing aid, so you're going to have to...
So you had Martha, who was trying to make sure that the place is cleaned up for Jesus, and you could almost compare that to like a performance-based theology, mm-hmm. where it's like you just want to make sure that your act is cleaned up before you come to Christ. And then one said, I will leave everything a mess around me, and then I will be in the presence of Christ first. It also kind of teaches busybody and caught up with everything day to day to make the personal time to spend with your Lord.
Right. Wonderful. Let me ask a question. Does Jesus care if the house is clean? Does he care if the food is good? Yeah. Talk to me honestly.
Yeah.
He does. I've lived with Anvesh now for a week. He does care if his house is clean. I've dropped food all over the place. I've actually dropped a whole bowl of cereal all over the place. And Anvesh is the most gracious host I've ever had, except for Deanna. And but he really does care about his house is clean. And I've watched him pick up little specks off the floor. He cares. And if he cares, I care. So I pray before God help me not to mess up Anvesh's house. So anyhow, it's Jesus cares about order. My wife says, order and beauty. Ned, order and beauty. My wife is exactly like Anvesh, and I am exactly not like Anvesh. I'm a slob. I really am. I have not learned the discipline of order and beauty yet. Maybe if you have a few years left, maybe I will. I doubt it. I think I can still get into heaven without order and beauty. But anyhow, all that to say that Jesus cares, and what he really cares about is you being in your lane, using your gift, and being satisfied and patient with your gift, and not getting into competition, refusing the competition of why can't I have this gift? Why can't I be like that? Just use what God has given you. But the one thing that is needful is that somehow you are going to be before the Lord listening. You've got to listen. And when I was learning how to use prophecy as a spiritual gift, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to be attentive, available, and obedient." So I'd walk into a church service and I'd pay attention. I'm paying attention upward. Every now and then I'd look around, and I'd kind of focus on a person, and something would come clear. But I was attentive, and I was always available, and because it's not my gift, right? It's His, and He can do whatever He wants with it within me. So I kind of learned how to be attentive, available, and obedient. And the same with your gift. You got to pay attention within your gift of how God might want to use that gift. And but the whole issue of paying attention is you cannot pay attention well to the Son of God unless you are given to the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to read the Word of God for 2 hours every day or 1 hour every day, but you have to, somehow it has to be infused in your life enough so that you begin to think that way. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You've got to be infused with the Word of God, and that's because this is how He thinks. He thinks, by His Spirit, He communicated this Word. Now, if that's the way God thinks, then you've got to learn to think that way. And so I'm not trying to put some legalistic thing. I am saying, I remember my first mentor in life was a guy named Larry Ballard. He went to a college retreat in, I think it was in Puerto Rico. And anyhow, at the end of the retreat, there was some break in the retreat, someone came up to him and said, "You know what? All this God stuff sounds pretty good, but I don't want to hear all that read your Bible and pray stuff." And Larry said, "You know what? I don't have a lot better advice than that, to read your Bible and pray." And he said, "You've got to learn how to do that." I never forgot that. It was like, don't give me all that read your Bible and pray stuff. Really? This is not legalistic. This is your path of life. And you know what? I'm pretty much done. Any more thoughts here?
I think you're describing an invitation.
You gotta speak up.
You're describing an invitation as opposed to a legal burden.
You're right.
It's an invitation.
It is. You know what? I've learned to love this woman. You all know Roseanne, right? I love you, Roseanne.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an invitation. Again, invitation into what, Roseanne?
Into a deeper relationship with the Lord, where He speaks into every area of your life.
She said it. You don't need me. You have Roseanne. Anyhow, it's exactly that. He is so interested in talking to you and you learning how to hear His voice and listen to Him. It's His, you know, when we say that God loves us, it's one thing to say that. But, you know, this morning I called my wife. Why did I call her? Kind of, I just wanted to hear her voice. And God wants to hear your voice. He actually wants to be with you. And he wants you to be comfortable in His presence, where your life is within that place, your life is being transformed. It's kind of the whole point of sanctification. When you are in that place, you are being sanctified. You're in a holy place. And so anyhow, it's yes. Talk to me some more.
Jesus as our high priest allows us to do that freely in the first place.
Got to say it louder, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. As well.
How does He do that?
He came and lived as a man, and so through overcoming His temptations, He understands our troubles. And
I love you, Kyle. That's perfect. I love Kyle too. So. Anyhow, it's a, there is that place where you've got to somehow be in his presence. And I'm not going to give you a big thing of how to have a prayer life, but I'd love to do that sometime, but not now. Any other thoughts? John? John?
Yes?
You raised your hand.
I'm
sorry.
It's a scratch.
Okay, Melody? So tell me what happened when you did that.
I feel free. I feel at rest. And it's been wonderful.
Something occurred. Just like I was watching Anvesh, and he said, it feeds my soul. I'll never forget that when you said that, Anvesh. He said, it feeds my soul. And I thought, two. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Melody. Any other thoughts here?
Ned, I appreciate that you used the word sane. That the word of God keeps you sane, because that's definitely how I feel. I say it the opposite way, in the sense of if I'm not grounded in the word of God, I feel like I'm going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. My dear friends, we live in a world where there are thousands and thousands of screaming voices always demanding your attention. Do we not?
Yeah.
It's just constant. And if I don't get to that one voice at some level, I will go crazy. And
another thing, we were watching Jesus Revolution a couple days ago.
And I'm sorry, watching what? Oh, yeah.
This revolution, right? First time I saw it. And in the movie, the Chuck Smith's wife, Kay, I guess, says that the lies are always very loud. Truth is quiet.
That's beautiful, right? It really is wonderful. The still small voice is a learned discipline. We have to learn it, and so, at any rate, what is the official ending of this? I mean, I can sit here forever, but
you can't sit there forever.
Okay.
It's 10:05. We usually end between 10:10 and 10:25.
Okay.
So whatever you want.
I'm good. I just don't want to cut the discussion short, but I always told everybody I'm a terrible small group leader, and I did okay as a pastor, but as a small group leader, I was bad. So I'm being bad here today, but
could I add one thing?
You can.
So Martha wasn't anxious about social media. She wasn't anxious about gambling. She wasn't anxious about when she was going to get her next drink. Next hit.
She wasn't anxious about the Bengals game today.
She wasn't anxious about those things. She was trying to be a good Christian without real, I mean, good Jew, right? She was trying to be a good Jew. So, but she was still crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And what Melody said about being crowded, trying to do the right things, I think we really have to listen to that. I think her testimony is one we really should think about.
I agree. Melody, you've helped us today. Thank you. I want you to really...
Yeah, because it's appointed You know, when we sin, what do? It's hamartia, right? Which means missing.
Missing the mark, right?
Right, you're an arrow and you miss the mark. If you think about that definition and you apply it to anything, not just the sins that are egregious that like step on people's toes or stuff, but you apply it to overdoing, pursuing the wrong thing, wasting
Can you open
time,
it?
Wasting energy.
Thank you.
Then we sin in ways we don't even have an idea that we're sinning in. When we fail to do the thing we were put on earth to do, love God, enjoy Him forever, and after that, we are to make use of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us to use. If we fail in that, if we don't focus ourselves, we are playing into the hands of our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are watering down the very thing that God called us to do. So
right.
Don't just think of, you know, Martha was anxious and troubled about many good things. So what is it that you need to dump from your life that may be good in somebody else's eyes? Are you trying to please somebody else?
That is a great temptation. Pleasing other people instead of pleasing the Lord. It's,
I feel it all the time.
The way I put it is, in my life, pride stalks me all day long. It stalks me all day long. And part of the core of pride is my self-concern. I get terribly concerned about me, about how I'm going to be affected by anything around me. But it's just a stalking pride. It stalks you all day long, too. So learning to actually ward off pride, all of the self-concern, it's a learned discipline. But we are disciples, are we not? And this is how we learn to actually become like Jesus. He helps us because even though pride stalks me all day long, the Holy Spirit is with me all day long, literally with me all day long. There is nothing that you cannot bring to Jesus, nothing you can't bring to Him. And In my own physical brokenness, my limited physical brokenness, I pray about everything. I literally do. I was praying about shaving this morning because I thought, Jesus, I don't want to cut myself and make a mess of Von Vesh's house. but I didn't have a sharp razor and I can't use this hand, so I had to pour the shaving cream in and here and I was praying through every process of getting up shaving, and you know what? I've learned to actually, and I haven't learned. I have it's because I need God to help me with everything. I lose stuff continually, and I pray about that continually. So anyhow, all that to say is, all this stuff is a learned discipline. Getting before the Lord, however you do it, it's your most critical time of day, at least if there's going to be an initial entrance into the Lord's work in your day, which there ought to be. So at any rate, I am done, and I don't know what you do now. Do you take it from here, John?
Okay. let's take a minute and just pray together. May I leave us?
Great.
Normally troubled and upset, our minds are crowded, and you're not here with us to tell us whether the things our minds are crowded with are good or bad. You're here to invite us to sit at your feet and listen to your teaching. And we ask you that you'd make us good at that. I don't think we'll ever get good at not getting crowded, cluttered, anxious minds, but we would like to get good at getting uncluttered quickly. And so we ask you for that. We ask you that you would become for us bigger and more important than all of the other things that we make out to be more important than they are. And we
ask that you deliver us from spiritual warfare, from temptation, and from evil spirit in the invisible realm that would trouble us with those anxious thoughts that clutter our mind. We thank you that you are willing to receive us as we are, day or night, year round. We thank you that you are utterly faithful. You are our rock and our refuge. Please help us to learn, above all else, that when we flee to you for refuge, for comfort, for help, just to be in your presence, that's the best place we can be, and that nothing else satisfies.
That was a wonderful prayer. I really loved that prayer. Leah, does he pray like that all the time? I guess. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Don. Actually, I'd like to end this by having just two more of you lead out in prayer. And then I'll just have a final thought. Two more.
I'll pray.
Go ahead.
But you do give us peace. You say, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication and with all thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and he will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we need to hold fast to that, Lord. Continue to put that scripture on our hearts. Allow us to know that whatever is going on in this world, you have already overcome and defeated. And these light momentary afflictions that we face are just measuring a greater glory to come. Father, we know that all glory goes to you. But we know, Lord, because you're our gracious King, that you share in the glory with us. And we just praise you, Lord, that you not only are the type of Father that is good to us and gives us the necessities, but you are a Father who adores us and truly lavishes us with blessing. Mm-hmm. We just thank you for your grace. I pray, Lord, that even though people go through tumultuous times, including this church has gone through tumultuous times, that you would cause us to raise up and be a family and to fight on our knees, as the famous Hillsong song says, that we would always turn to you, that we would expect the kind of unexpected, because the world doesn't think the way we do, and that we would that we would never put you in a box, Father, that we would see you for your mighty, glorious, outside and above time nature and expect miracles. And Lord, we know that we need them constantly, and we don't know the true depth and depravity of our sin, and we thank you for not revealing it to us all at once. But we just bless your holy name, and we praise you, and may you receive the honor and the glory today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, John. I'm going to delete the second prayer because I need to
end with this. I have been meeting with your leaders for the... we met yesterday, right? Was it yesterday? And I just want to tell you how much I love and appreciate your leaders. This is the... Honestly, I have been around the world working with leadership teams. I love this leadership team. It's honestly the most... gracious group of people I've working as a leadership team I've ever seen, and I'm not blowing smoke on this one. It's been true. I think you are so blessed, but I have nothing but hope for the future of Grace Christian Fellowship. I have nothing but hope. It's when I see, I've always looked at it this way. When I see the level of life and quality of leaders in any kind of group, it's that's what gives me confidence, you know, beyond the Spirit's presence. But anyhow, it's had a wonderful time with them, and I just want to encourage you in your own walk with them, your life of humility and relationship with them. It's just give yourself to the Lord and to these leaders in a way that will take this group of people and influence the world. Let the echo of this church go throughout Ohio and beyond Ohio. May it be. So that's it. I really do love you. I love these leaders, and looking forward to your worship.
We love you too.
I believe it, John. Thank you.
And we appreciate that prophecy you just made.
What?
We appreciate that prophecy you just made over us.
I didn't know I did, but
yes, you did.
Let it be.
Our voice would echo through Ohio and beyond. We take that on as a prophecy.
I believe that will happen. This with this church. Byron. I forgot your wife's name.
Jaylene.
What?
Jaylene.
It's like Eileen, only it starts with J, so it's Jaylene.
But they call you Jai.
They call her Jai.
Jai. Jai, I'm glad to see you again. Are you helping to lead worship today?
Well, not lead, but we'll be in worship.
Okay. Anyhow. I try to remember names. I'm not that good at it, but anyhow. And it's Robbie and Abigail. Abigail is a Burks. Did you know that? Melody is a Burks. It's taken me a while to learn all the Burks in order. It's a project for the rest of my life. So I'm done, John.